Hello, this is Kristen with Conversations with My Sisters. You have heard from a number of my sisters now, and I'm so excited that Lori and I get to record one of our conversations. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
This is so exciting. You and I have been wanting to talk on the podcast for a while.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I think it'd be fun for you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
My name is Lori. I've lived in Arizona for all of my life and have enjoyed raising my family here. I have 7 children, and my husband and I have both met here going to Arizona State University and have built a life for us here. We enjoyed it.
That is so awesome. How old is your oldest?
My oldest is 27, and they span down until 18, and then my youngest is 11. So I have a little gap at the end.
He is such a joy and a very important part of our extended family. So both of us grew up in a very big family. I am the oldest, and you are number 6. For any of you who don't know this, my mom and dad had 11 children, and their first 6 were girls. Lori is number 6 of those girls. My mom would often call us her little ducklings, following her around. The dynamic changed a lot after John was born, who is the sibling right after Lori, our first brother. And then it went girl, boy, girl, boy at the end. How do you feel about growing up in a big family, Lori?
Well, I loved it. I thought it was the best. There were people around, and all the time I could have someone to play with nearly constantly. I loved being in a pack of girls, to be honest. I lucked out. Being the very middle child, I had an interesting placement in this family. I just remember really looking up to my sisters so much.
I look up to all of my sisters now, too, in more ways than one. Even though I was the oldest, at first you literally had to look up to me, Lori. But now I look up to you in so many ways. I know that everyone's going to be super curious, and this is a spontaneous question. What it was like to have a little brother. What is one of your first memories with John?
Oh, interesting. I remember him being really interested in what we all did. He looked up to us too, and we were who he had from a very young age. Of course, he and his brothers got along and did things together, but there was something different. You just tend to look up. You just do in all families. You just want to be like your elders. And so I remember him being so good to me and so kind. And I never appreciated it when he was younger, I think, but I do now.
John is an amazing man, and so are our other brothers. It's neat that mom and dad kept having kids so that John could have brothers. You mentioned that you would like to talk about consistency in this conversation. How do you feel mom and dad were consistent?
I think they were great examples of consistent parenting. I feel like they were who they told us to be. There was no disparity there. They talked about gospel and community living in a way that they exemplified, whether it be in our home or outside of our home, whether it be gospel principles or in study or in interacting with other people. Also in our home, the activities that we did were fairly consistent. For example, we had our family night every week. And as far as I can remember, it was a highlight of our week. I always looked forward to it so much. During that time, my dad took us to the grocery store to pick out a treat, and we would rotate turns. So it was just one-on-one time with our dad. My dad would always ask us questions about us. Even to this day, he's so good at asking questions just to help understand who we are. And he wants to know who we are and to have an opportunity to exchange our ideas with him. He respected us. And my mom was very consistent in her desire to create and provide an upbringing that was stable and loving. And she taught us to do our best and created a home that appreciated music. I think a lot of our companionship of the Holy Ghost came through music in that way.
I agree. These things are hard to do, to be consistent. They had to have been coming from a position of strength to have the emotional, physical, mental capacity to be such a stable influence, to be so reliable.
Reliable is a good word. I feel like dad provided and he was consistent and reliable, and mom took care of our needs that were her role that only a mother could bring.
What was something else that they were really consistent at?
Yes.
She was very consistent about our musical training. Did you feel like we all had equal opportunity in music?
I think equal is a really strong word because equal doesn't need to mean the same. And in my home, my kids had wonderful opportunity for music, but it looked different for all of them. So
musical training was important to mom and we all got our version of it.
Exactly. It's very important to her. She finds a lot of joy in that.
In fact, she knows that she can't ensure that her grandchildren get musical training, but to encourage them in music, she has a music night once a year. And this is an example of consistency that is hard for me to duplicate. And that is every year in the same season, she reaches out to us and says, music night is going to be this night. And it's been every year for
many years.
Many years. Yeah, she doesn't think, oh, I'm tired or it's not convenient or I'm going to move it back to a different month. No, it's the same season. She wanted to have a sit down, formal dinner with them, which relates to music in that it's developing good manners in them and encourages them to dress up for the event. Consistently, she puts out her nicest dishes and she puts on a beautiful dinner.
Yes, she does. And to include my dad in that, he is the master of scheduling. So he helped her make that happen. He was included in implementing that, I believe.
Absolutely. And she knows that he is going to be there
to support her.
And then, yes. He's the one who puts out all the tables and the chairs. He's the one who sets the table. He helps with the dishes. He'll be peeling potatoes or doing anything she wants. And it's very important to him, too. So they work together as a team to make sure that happens.
I see that.
Oh, how were you and Elijah intentionally consistent in your parenting?
When we say something, we want it to happen. Mm-hmm. When we set a consequence, we aim to follow through. Mm-hmm. For example, when the kids are outside playing and the kids grew up in a cul-de-sac, most of them did, during that time, we would play outside regularly and we would have rules about when they could play in the street and when they couldn't or how far down the street they could play. When they broke that rule, then they came inside. Chances and more chances and more chances was not helping anybody. Mm-hmm. And there was sacrifice there because I didn't always want to take them inside. Maybe I needed to be in there with them then, or I lost opportunity. But, oh, so sad, we're going inside. And they don't need a million chances. Mm-hmm. So they learned more quickly that way. I think there's this marvelous example that God sets for us. I believe in God and his plan of happiness. I feel his example in being the father and our role in being the child for a trusting relationship to form. We are to be children and to learn to trust him. In that way, we also are developing a trustworthy relationship with our children, or we're not. Isn't it amazing how trustworthy our little children are to us? They rely on us completely.
Completely.
And they learn that we are going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. They need it. They forgive us freely, and they learn to say, okay.
It would blow my mind every time we'd go on a trip, you know, and the kids didn't know, especially when they were tiny, if we were ever coming back or not. They didn't understand how long it was going to be or where we were going or if we would be safe or if I would feed them tomorrow because we were leaving.
So how vital is that relationship of trust that we build with our children?
It's essential.
Critical, especially when we begin to teach them important truths. One of the things that we did, actually, it's lasted a really long time, 20 years, surrounding the dinner table before dinner for 10 minutes and after dinner for 10 minutes. The kids had jobs and they came in, and I learned this actually from my sister Janet, but we would have a call, a zone was what we called them. And they would come in and have a job, and there would be 10 minutes on the clock. I'm setting the buzzer for zones. They knew what their job was, or there was a spontaneous job assigned depending upon the season. They knew because I set the buzzer for 10 minutes that that's how much time they had to complete their job. And this is while I was finishing getting things on the table. Occasionally I would say, there's 3 minutes on the clock, or there are 2 minutes left on the clock, because I noticed that they're kind of dilly-dallying around. Every job is more like a 2 or 3 minute job. But then if they didn't get it done and the buzzer rings, then I'll say, oh, so close. Okay, your extra job is going to be wiping down the counters in the bathroom.
Oh.
Okay. And we go on.
And when you're consistent with that, then there's no complaint because they know what to expect. That is brilliant. I've never heard that before, Lori.
Oh. Well, it's worked really well and there's no fighting and it's just what it is. It just comes and goes and we want to dinner and we sit down together.
Oh my goodness, that's so cool. And of course you need to have 10 minutes before and you need to have 10 minutes after. And exactly. If they just expect that, then it's a well-oiled machine.
20 years.
It takes consistency though for them to expect it and for them to rely on it and for you to be able to rely on them. 20 years, wow.
I know. I can't say that for a lot of things, but that one, it's lasted.
Neato. Gosh, I'm going to do that. But my kids are gone. Ah! You're lucky you still have one kid.
We do. The poor guy, he's got an increased number of zones, it would appear.
Oh, man, he was prepared for that, though. I never see him without a smile. Oh, what a trooper. Funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if there was a mom out there or a dad who found it really hard to be consistent or struggled with this concept, what would you share with them by way of encouragement?
Forgive yourself freely. Keep trying. We are fallen beings. We are not going to do it perfectly. We are to have children long before the age of understanding greater things. And that's by divine design. And so if that's how it's always been, and that's what God expects or hopes for us to have children during our younger ages, before we have time to learn the level 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever things, then there has to be forgiveness. Mm-hmm. When we have pure intention, then it's good. It's all right. Just keep trying. Don't give up. Don't beat yourself up, but keep trying. And know that sacrifice is beautiful. Study sacrifice. Understand what sacrifice is, because it's not bad. And it's at the crux of so many beautiful things in our lives.
I just read in the scriptures about losing your life and finding it. I think that rule relates so much to sacrifice and to being a parent. Oh, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I sometimes felt like my kids were bowling balls around my ankles. Like I could not move. I could not get things done that I thought were important. And sometimes some things seemed hard. And that analogy would come to my mind when my faculties were charitable enough to remind myself this, I would think that my priority is not to serve myself right now. I'm doing something much greater than that. Did you have any affirmations or things that helped you come back to the set of priorities that you were trying to live by?
You know, I always knew that something really large in my life would derail my focus from my children, from my family, and I wanted them to remain the number one priority for me. And in that regard, I'm kind of grateful that I didn't have a huge passion behind my degree.
Mm.
I always tried to keep them first. Having said that, I needed diversions. I kept diversions in my life all over the place, year after year, month after month. I kept creative opportunities coming. I learned something new. What's fun? I would take a little class at night on Thursday nights for 6 weeks. I arranged it with my husband to have this little time at night so I could go off and do this experience at a book club or a class for this. I was in a symphony for a couple of semesters. Whatever it is that interests you, I needed those outlets, but I kept them small. They were invigorating and joyful, but I kept them on the fringe. That was helpful to me.
That is so valuable. I would like to brag about you a little bit, Lori. Some of the classes and things you chose to do surprised me. When you would share what you were enjoying or filling your well with, during particular periods of time. One that I thought was particularly brave was when you were learning how to do improv. Would you say that's one of those moments?
Yes, and it brought so much joy to me. And guess what? It was scary right out of the gates. But I would recommend improv to anyone who wants to get out and feel something different and be with people. It taught me so much about my mind and relationships, and it was fun. We laughed, and I extended myself and learned and had opportunities I never would have outside of that.
You have developed beautiful talents that continue to give to you and your family and every circle of influence that you are in. That's a wonderful thing for every parent to remember, that you need to fill your well. Don't forget who you are while you are giving so much to your children and family. Well, is there anything you would like to share with a busy LDS mom before we close this conversation?
The ultimate fix comes through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so learn about him, you know, spend time with your faith. And again, forgive yourself freely. You are good. You are right where you should be. You are capable of all that you have in front of you. You are a person first, and you're a person through this. You bring your talents and your riches to your family. You got this.
Thank you so much, Lori, for sharing these gems with me and with our listeners. Never forget that you have a Heavenly Father who knows you better than you know yourself and who loves you. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Thank you, Kristen. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye, Lori.